He said, repent so that your sins may be blotted out, and that through your repentance, times of refreshing may come. Now, notice that the times of refreshing and the blotted out sins are only for those who repent.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we begin a new message entitled, Times of Refreshing. This is the final chapter on the series we call The Power of Repentance. To tell us more about the message, here is Pastor Jeff.
There's nothing I love more than a good time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. We all need it, and we need it often. But many never stop to think that repentance literally paves the way for those special times with God. In the final message in our Power of Repentance series, we're going to see how repentance unlocks the door to God's outpouring on our very own souls. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Times of Refreshing, from the series, The Power of Repentance. Power of the Holy Spirit is an incredible power. He can touch hearts. He can break chains. He can strengthen when you're about to feel like you can't take another step. And he can lead us right to Jesus. And he does lead us to Jesus. And you know what else he does? He gives us the grace to repent. And I'm going to finish what I've been saying about repentance. And repentance is not a bad word. It's a good word. I'm going to show you today, it's an incredible word. As a matter of fact, it opens the door to every blessing that God has for us. If you don't repent, you can't be saved. If you don't repent, then there is something between you and God. But repentance is the key that unlocks the door to every blessing that God has for us. Have you ever thought about that? So I want to read one verse. It is what Peter said to the Pentecostal crowd when they said, sirs, what must we do? And I want you to notice what he said. Now, there's what it begins with our words. I want you to say our word with me. Acts 3:19. What did Peter respond with? He said, repent. How have some preachers in America decided that you can't say that anymore? That's crazy. That's nuts. He said, repent and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What an incredible promise. We live right now in a primarily unrepentant culture. Our nation has hardened its heart against God. We live in a culture that every single day slaughters thousands of children in their mother's womb without repentance. We live in a nation where the government finances that without repentance. We live in a nation that has put its official seal of approval on every manner of sexual perversion without repentance. We have no more shame, no more conviction. Our nation has forgotten how to repent. That's sad to me because repentance, again, is the key that unlocks the best that God has for us. Repentance is the gateway, it's the key to experiencing incredible blessings from God. We need to learn to repent. You know what? As Christians, we need to repent often. Amen. Don't look at me so holy. No, not me, Pastor Jeff. No, we do, don't we? Come on. We need to repent often because we often think something, say something, do something that we shouldn't, and we know it grieves God, and we need to repent. And I submit to you that if we practice regular repentance, we're going to walk under an open heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want an open heaven. I want the blessing of God, presence of God, peace of God, guidance of God, deliverance of God, strength of God. I want it all. I'm greedy for the things of God. That's where I'm greedy. I'm greedy for the things of God. What about you? I want everything he's got for me and then some. And I openly admit it to you, I'm greedy. Amen. So today we're going to talk about the power of repentance as it relates to times of refreshing. I want you to notice how Peter told this crowd something that was amazing. They heard the gospel. They heard Peter tell them, you crucified the Son of God. You murdered God's only Son. And so at the end of it, they're all convicted. They said, sirs, what must we do? And he began with, you got to repent. If you want to know how to get into the kingdom of God and how to receive forgiveness and how to come under what God has for you, you must begin with repentance. He said, repent so that your sins may be blotted out and that through your repentance, times of refreshing may come. Now, notice that the times of refreshing and the blotted out sins are only for those who repent. If you don't repent, you can't experience those two things, and I'm going to elaborate on those two things in just a minute because what he promises here is amazing. So I want to unpack verse 19 in my last message on repentance in this series. I want to unpack verse 19, and I want us to look at it again because it's such a powerful verse, and it applies to everybody in here, lost and found. Lost and found. If you're lost, don't know Jesus yet, it applies to you. If you're a Christian, it also applies to you. So let's look at it. He said, first of all, if you want to know what to do, you must repent. Repent then and turn to God. Now remember, in this series, we've told you what repentance is and what it's not. Repentance is a powerful word. It means more than feeling sorry for the sinful things that we've done. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond just feeling sorry. It's more than an emotional moment in a church service or in an altar. It's more than that, where we feel emotional and we feel bad or we feel guilty or we feel remorseful. It's more than that. New Testament repentance is more than that. New Testament repentance is this. You're going down one road the wrong way. You're going down a wrong way road. That's the idea of repentance. I'm going down the road that Jesus described as the broad road that leads to destruction. He said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And it's a highway. It's a road. It's a path. It's something people are walking on. Listen, Jesus is the one who coined Broadway. So here it is. You're going down the broad way. And Jesus said, it's wide, like a great big demonic mouth opened wide. It's wide. And he said, many people are going down that road. In other words, most people. Most people are going down that road. It's the broad way, the wide road. And Jesus said, it will lead to destruction. So here you are. You're going down this wide road. You're barreling down this wide road. Your vehicle, your life, wide open. You are barreling down this road. And you hear the gospel. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And the gospel comes and stands right in front of you and confronts you on that road. It confronts you on that road, and you stop for a minute and you listen. God so loved the world. You listen to the gospel. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God that leads to salvation. There is power in that gospel, power in John 3:16, power in what Jesus did for us. And so we hear it, and for a minute we stop and we make a decision. I'm either going to continue down this road or I'm going to repent. Repent and turn to God, Peter said. Repent and turn to God. So here I am. I'm going down this road and I hear the gospel and I decide, well, I better get off this road because Jesus said it leads to destruction. Down this road, the bridge is out. And I'm going off that bridge. And I'm going to go into destruction, so I repent. And here's New Testament repentance. When I repent, I turn. And I get onto another road. And it's called the narrow road that leads to life. I get on that road. Jesus said, it's constricted. Jesus said, it's a tight fit. And we tend to think, well, if it's a tight fit, if it's so constricted, then how in the world can it be a joyous road or a good road? Because isn't it funny how even though it's restricted and constricted and tight and narrow, it leads to life. It leads to life. And so I turn. Repentance is turning away from and turning toward. Turning from one thing and turning toward another thing. Listen to what Peter said. He said, repent and turn to God. So when I really repent, genuinely repent, when I mean business and I have decided I am changing my mind, That's what repentance means, to change your mind. Now, listen carefully to me, church. Repentance is not a New Year's resolution. It is not where you decide to turn over a new leaf and just make some changes, kick a habit or something like that. Repentance is way bigger than that. Repentance is when you turn to God through Jesus Christ. He literally transforms your life. You are no longer the same person. Something supernatural has happened to you. You didn't do it. He did it. You didn't bring it about. He brought it about. He did what the counselors couldn't do and what psychiatrists couldn't do and what drugs couldn't do and what you couldn't do. He changes your life. He changes your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and all has become new. I said, all has become new. All is become new. He is a new creation. That means the hand of God was involved in what happened to you. He is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone. New has come. So now I'm on the narrow road that leads to life. And when I'm on the narrow road that leads to life, Jesus is the boss, applesauce. Amen? Jesus is the boss. I don't make him Lord 10 years later. The minute I get saved, he is Lord. I said, the minute I get saved, he's the boss. He's the Lord. He's Messiah. He tells me where to go, what to do, how to live. Amen. Come on, everybody. So we turn from our sin and we turn to God. And whatever action steps we must take to make things right, horizontally with men or vertically with God, we will do, and we'll do it happily. That's the thing about genuine repentance. If you're really repenting, you are happy to do. You'll go as far a distance as it takes to get there. You will do what it takes. No price is too high for you to get right with God and right with others and to repent and get the channel clear between you and God. You are happy to do it because repentance is a blessing and an anointing from God. Real repentance means I don't care what it takes or if I've got to humble myself to do it. I will do it. Amen. Come on, everybody. If you've repented, it's going to show. Real Christianity shows up. I don't understand closet Christians. I don't understand silent witnesses. That's an oxymoron. How can you be silent and be a witness? See, if Jesus comes into your heart, you can't keep it down. You can't hide your light under a bushel. It's going to show. They're going to see a difference in your eyes. They're going to see a difference in your life. They're going to see a difference in your walk. They're going to see a difference in your talk. It's going to show. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christianity shows up. I was talking to a lady on the phone. Two nights ago, it took an hour and a half. She's as lost as a goose in a hailstorm, as we would say in East Texas. Doesn't know Jesus. And she said this to me. Come on, Jeff. I've known her since we were 15. Come on, Jeff. Christianity is just a religion like Buddhism. It's just a religion like Islam. It's just a religion like all the other religions of the world. It's just one of many. And I said, no, you got it wrong right there. First of all, it's not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Some men have made it a religion, but Christianity in the raw is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living Savior that we are engaged in every day. And I walk with Him, and I talk with Him, and He tells me I am His own. I think I'm going to preach a little bit today. I'm feeling it on me. And I said to her, let's say her name was Debbie. I said, Debbie, it's not a religion. It's a life. It's a relationship. It's real. He's real. He's on the right-hand side of God. He sends His Holy Spirit to live in my heart. He fellowships with me. He walks with me. He talks to me. He guides me. He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's the lover of my soul. This is not a religion. Religion is do, do, do. Christianity is done, done, done. I want you to look at how repentance manifested in the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 7 gives us the telltale signs of genuine repentance. Paul writes, the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin. So there's that walking away from that old life. And it results in salvation, turning to God. So I leave something and I go towards something. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. Did you catch that? I've never had anybody on a deathbed say to me, man, if only I hadn't accepted Jesus. Never. I've had them say this to me. I wish I'd given more of my life to Jesus. I wish I hadn't waited so long to come to Jesus. I wish I'd been richer toward God. I wish I hadn't ignored his promptings all those years. I wish I hadn't wasted so many years in sin. I've heard all those things at deathbeds. But I've never heard, you know, Jeff, I just wish I hadn't come to Jesus like I did. No, the godly sorrow that leads to repentance is also a sorrow with no regret. I never regret. And then he goes on, and he's about to tell us exactly what real repentance looks like. He said, just see what this godly sorrow, which is sorrow leading to repentance, produced in you. Such earnestness. Boy, I'm serious about this. Such concern to clear yourselves. I'll do anything to wipe the slate clean between me and God. Such indignation. I'm angry at what sin has done. Such alarm. I'm terrified at what sin has done. Such zeal. I have zeal in my repentance. This is not something that I'm just doing like a robot. It's not robotic. It's not duty. I'm not involved in just mechanically doing something, but I've got God-given zeal to repent. And I love this last part. You showed that you have done everything necessary to make things right. Whatever it takes, I will do it. Between me and men and between me and God. You have done everything to make things right. And that's what real repentance looks like. You have done everything necessary to make things right. When John the Baptist looked out over the crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees, who were sad, you see? You know why they were sad, you see? Because they didn't believe in a resurrection. So they were sad, you see. I'm sorry, I know that's cheap, but you'll never forget it. Why are they called sad? Because if you take away every hope of eternity, you are going to be sad, you see. Yeah. Amen? That's free. You can take that home, chew on it. All right. But he looked out at these Pharisees and Sadducees, and here's what he said to them. He said, bear fruits worthy or that bespeak of repentance. Here's another version. Change your hearts and show by the way you live that you have changed. In other words, real repentance will show up. So John the Baptist is telling them, you've come to be baptized, but I'm telling you, I want to see some good deeds that show me and show God that you have genuinely repented. Churches are full of people who haven't really repented. Amen. Yeah. Billy Graham said the biggest harvest field in the world is the church. Can you believe that? It's true. Church is full of people that don't repent. They think that going to church makes them right with God. Believe me, I'm not judging you, pointing a finger at you. I was saved in jail as a 16-year-old boy. I'm not judging you. But I want to be truthful. You can sit in church all your life and not be saved. You can be close to the spout where the glory comes out, but never get the glory. You can walk around the edges of salvation without diving in. You can hear the word your whole life, but never truly repent. I'm telling you about the greatest gift God's given us, aside from Jesus Christ on the cross, is the ability and the privilege to repent. Yeah. Amen. Amen. True repentance always brings about a change in your lifestyle, a zeal for making things right with God and man. Let me remind you again, it's not a negative word, it's a positive word. We talk a lot today about self-help. Oh, I'm out to help myself, self-help. There's all kinds of self-help magazines. Even one magazine is called Self. Is it still around? I don't know, but it used to be Self. Right there when you're checking out at the grocery store, they've got all those crazy magazines right next to all the chocolate. They know they've got you. How many times have I grabbed a Hershey bar and I told the girl, I said, you know right where to put this, don't you? And she said, they do it, but I understand. I fall all throughout the day, I grab one of those things. I get a Hershey's bar with almonds. I can't help it. I look at it and I look away. I look at it again, and then I look away. I say, Jesus, help me. I say, well, that's okay, and I just grab it anyway. God made chocolate right there with coffee on the eighth day, and he said, it is good. Yeah. Now, but if you want to talk about self-help, you want to help yourself, repentance is the most reasonable, sensible, healthy thing you can do for yourself. Because repentance gets you right with God, and it positions you to receive the best God has for you. So repentance is the greatest self-help you can do. What will it profit a man, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? It's a door-opening word that leads to a whole new world of blessing and peace and positive change. Repenting. How many of you can say, I'm so glad I repented? Amen. Amen. How many of you know Jesus? You don't know him unless you repented. So how many of you are glad you repented one day? Amen? In this verse, there are two so that's. So that. Repent and turn to God, so that one thing and so that another thing. There's two so that's. And the two so that's show us the incredible benefits of repenting. So I'm going to take the remainder of my time and I want to talk to you about the two so that's. I want you to notice what he says. Repent and turn to God, first so that your sins may be blotted out. Now, I could stop right there and go home and rejoice over that. Repent and turn to God so that your sins can be blotted out. Everybody say, so that. Now, I want you to notice that first so that. What an incredible so that your sins can be blotted out. But then there's a second so that. He says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Wow. This verse shows us the power and beauty of repentance and what it releases on our life. When God convicts us and we say, Jesus, forgive me, and we repent, we have just positioned ourselves for two incredible so that your sins can be blotted out, and so that a time of refreshing. And I'm going to talk about that last but not least, times of refreshing. How many of you would love a time of refreshing from the presence of God? I'm talking about a fresh touch. I'm talking about a fresh anointing. I'm talking about a fresh outpouring. I'm talking about a fresh touch from the Spirit of God. Come on, everybody. Are you hungry for that? Let's talk about the first so that your sins may be blotted out. What an incredible promise that is, that your sins, when you repent, something happens in the unseen world. God blots out your sin. No wonder David wrote, listen to his words, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven. How many of you want to be blessed? If your sins are forgiven, say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He said, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. If your sin has been forgiven, you are blessed among most people on the face of the earth, because most are going down that wide road that leads to destruction. If your sins are forgiven, you are more wealthy than Bezos. Is that his name? Bezos over Amazon? Or Bill Gates? You are wealthier than a multi-billionaire if your sin is covered. Bless, because if they haven't repented, they may be rich on earth, but it's not going to last, and they're not going to take it with them. They can't take one dime with them. But if your sin is forgiven, you are blessed among most people on earth.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Tune in again next week for the continuation of this life-changing message entitled Times of Refreshing, in this series we call The Power of Repentance. Thank you for listening today. We can't wait to be with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.